profiteer, Zelia couldn't help but wonder how much help a servo sprite would be if Talon got himself into another fight. Chapter 7. For the Greater Good. Zelia looked at her chrono and sighed. It had been 2 hours since Talon had stormed off, Meshwing bobbing after him. The ganger still hadn't returned. They were alone on the ship, Amity having told them not to touch anything before heading back out into the station to make further inquiries, whatever that meant. They had no idea if the captain was tracking down information about the Emperor's seat or seeing to her own mysterious business. Zelia didn't mind admitting that Amity made her uncomfortable. Everyone they met seemed to make jokes about the rogue trader. And then there was her crew, or rather, the lack of one. From what Erasmus had told Zelia, rogue traders never worked alone. Most captains came from noble families, awarded special warrants to travel beyond imperial borders. Some of them pushed the limits of what was right and proper, but they were usually surrounded by those who wanted to share in their riches. Something had happened to Amity's crew, something that everyone seemed to know about, everyone but them. Left alone, Zelia had tried to find out more about the captain from the ship's cogitator, but unsurprisingly, most of the data was encrypted. Not even Meki could persuade the Profiteer's machine spirit to give up Amity's secrets. The Martian had admitted defeat and retreated to the ship's empty mess hall to tinker with the exoframe that supported his withered arm. Zelia stayed on the flight deck, accessing public files on the cogitator. She pulled up files on the Tau Empire, all too aware that Grunt was standing motionless on the far side of the bridge. The servitor wasn't even looking at her, but instead stared unblinking at the viewport like a hound waiting for its owner to return. She glanced back at the cyborg and tried to suppress the shudder she felt every time she saw his slack expression. She knew that he wasn't real, that he had been grown in a vat, not raised as a child. Servitors were tools, nothing more, just like Meki's servo sprites. But she had heard a rumour a long time ago while sitting in a tavern with her mother. A wart-faced spacefarer had been talking about his grandson, a healthy boy who had refused to go and fight in one of the Emperor's many wars.
"They turned him into one of those servitor things," the toothless man had muttered, tears in his rheumy eyes. "Stuck machines into him, took away his soul."
It was a story she'd heard a few times since, that criminals and deserters were converted into servitors, their minds wiped. No, she couldn't believe it. Not even the Emperor would command that. Would he? Zelia tried to concentrate on the data files, ignoring the nagging doubts in the back of her mind. Technically, Talon was a deserter. He'd run away instead of serving in the Imperial Guard. What if he was captured and tried for his crimes? Would he end up like Grunt, standing immobile on the bridge of a spaceship? She put the thought out of her head, focusing on what she'd found in the cogitator. There wasn't as much on the Tau as she'd hoped. Their empire was located on the eastern fringe of the galaxy, not far from Hinterland Outpost. According to one tract, the Tau believed in a philosophy they called the Greater Good. They claimed that other races could voluntarily join the Empire in order to share the Tau's superior technology. The writer of the tract obviously didn't believe them. Passage after passage had outlined the Tau's many heresies, including annexing numerous imperial worlds and threatening to disintegrate the population unless they submitted to Tau rule. Zelia switched off the screen and rubbed her eyes. She didn't know what to believe. The female in the market hadn't seemed threatening, not like the Kroot that had stolen her omniscope. But according to the tract, the Kroot were members of the Tau Empire. How could something so barbaric be welcomed into such a progressive and technologically advanced society? It didn't make any sense. She glanced at her chrono again. Another half hour had passed. Trying not to look at Grunt, she got up from the terminal and went to find Meki. Sure enough, the Martian was where she had left him, still working on his frame. "Is there any news?" Meki looked up, confused. "About what?" "About Talon," she sighed. "Who else would she be asking about?" "Ah," Meki said, his eyes slipping out of focus. Zelia watched his electus flash, a sign that the Martian was communicating with Meshwing. Meki wasn't a psyker. The link between the servo sprite and its creator was purely artificial, a means to share raw data. The Martian frowned. What is it?
I have lost contact with Meshwing, he replied, looking up at her. This is worrying.
Zelia's stomach clenched. When did you last hear from her?
Meki cocked his head. An hour, maybe more. I have been distracted by my work.
Then where's Talon?
Here, said Amity, striding into the communal area.
The captain had returned with Talon, who shuffled in behind her, hands thrust into his pockets. Zelia jumped up, wanting to throw her arms around the ganger and apologise, but could tell from his face that it would be a bad idea. Instead, she just asked him if he was all right.
Of course I am, came the gruff reply.
It appears your friend is quite the detective,
Amity said, walking over to a decanter to pour herself a drink. The sweet tang of fortified honey filled the small room, making Zelia wrinkle her nose.
I won't go that far, Talon muttered.
What does Captain Amity mean? Meki asked.
Talon rubbed the back of his neck.
I know where to find the Emperor's seat, or at least the places that Carter mentioned.
Zelia clasped her hands together.
You found out? How?
Carter told me.
Why?
Zelia asked.
We made a deal, he said, refusing to meet her gaze. That's all.
A chill passed over her as she realised what the ganger had done.
Talon, where's Flea Pit?
The boy finally looked her in the eye, ready for the argument he knew was coming.
Look, before you start...
Start what? Meki asked.
Isn't it obvious? Zelia snapped. He sold Flea Pit.
What?
Talon's face darkened.
I got the information, didn't I?
But at what cost? After everything Flea Pit has been through, after everything he's done for us.
I did what we needed to do,
Talon snapped back as Meki got to his feet, his pale face even more ashen than usual.
The diadem, he said,
his voice barely louder than a whisper.
What about it? Zelia asked. Fleegan Pala has it.
Amity leant forwards in her chair, a glint of barely disguised avarice in her eyes.
What diadem?
Now the colour had drained from Talon's face as well.
But it'll be safe, he stammered, realising his mistake. It's in Flea Pit's backpack thing.
What are you all talking about?
Amity asked, more forcibly this time.
It's a Necron artefact, Zelia blurted out. We found it on Targian.
Now Amity was on her feet.
It's a what? You brought a Necron relic on board my ship.
We're taking it to my mum. She'll know what to do with it.
Destroy it! Amity said. That's what you do. You destroy it before the Necrons come looking for it.
She set her glass down, her drink half finished.
That's why they sent a hunter after you.
Zelia nodded.
We think so, yes.
And that's why they'll come here. I knew answering your distress call was a mistake. I just knew it.
She was pacing up and down, trying to process the news.
We need to warn Vitone. No, he'll never believe me. We need to find it and smash it to pieces.
No, Zelia said. I made a promise that I'd deliver it to Mum.
Amity stopped and stared at Zelia in disbelief.
You made a promise? Everyone on the outpost could die, but that's okay because you made a promise.
No, I didn't mean that.
Amity covered her ears with her hands.
I don't want to hear it. I tell you what, we're done. It's over.
Zelia's chest tightened.
What do you mean? I mean, you can get off my ship right now.
No,
Zelia pleaded with her.
We can fix this, like you fixed everything else.
Your children playing at being adults. I'll send Grunt around to Carter, force him to hand back the monkey.
Jokero,
Meki chimed in.
Amity jabbed a ringed finger at the Martian.
Not helpful.
And what if he won't do it? What if he won't give up Flea Pit?
Amity's hand went to her beamer.
Then I'll just have to get the damn thing back myself.
No, Captain, please, Zelia begged. If you go in shooting, Flea Pit could get hurt. Let me at least try to get him back without servitors or guns, and then if that doesn't work...
Her sentence died in her throat. She didn't want to think about the alternative. Amity stared at her, looking deep into her eyes. Zelia held her breath, half expecting the rogue trader to draw her pistol and march them off the profiteer. Instead, Amity sighed, closing her eyes and breathing heavily through her nose.
I must be mad.
She raised a single finger.
1 hour, Zelia. You have 1 hour.
Thank you, Zelia said, wringing her hands. We won't let you down. Isn't that right, Talon?
But when Zelia looked for the ganger, he was gone.
Chapter 8. Inquisitor Jeremias. The sleek black ship swooped down through snow-filled clouds to land near the abandoned camp. Jeremias of the Imperial Inquisition's Ordo Xenos strutted down the ramp, a large mechanical beast at his heels. The cybermastiff sniffed the cold air, an electronic growl rumbling at the back of the construct's vat-grown throat.
"What is it?" the Inquisitor asked the armor-plated hound. "The survivors?"
His mouth curled into a distasteful snarl.
"Xenos?"
The mastiff's growl intensified at the accursed word. The hairs on the back of Jeremias's neck bristled. They would have to tread carefully if there were aliens here. The Inquisitor's faithful servo skull swept down from the ship, its sensor scanning the site for evidence. The camp was deserted, a wreck of a shelter half buried in a snowdrift.
"This is intriguing,"
Jeremias said as he approached the broken-down structure, his boots crunching in the snow.
"Have you ever seen the like, Korlak?"
The servo skull glided over to him, mechanical tentacles twitching.
"Nothing in records,"
the skull responded in its stilted artificial voice.
Jeremias indicated the sloped walls. "If I didn't know better, I would say the materials came from an escape pod. But it is far too large, not to mention completely the wrong shape."
Behind them, the cybermastiff was churning up the snow with its snout.
"What have you found?"
Jeremias asked, walking over to the hound. The mechanical dog bit into the snow with powerful hydraulic jaws and pulled out a long metal mast, dropping the pole at its master's feet. Jeremias bent down, probing the mast's exposed circuitry with a gloved finger, and frowned. He was no tech cultist, but even he knew that was the work of no human.
"Sire,"
Korlak called over to him. Jeremias returned to the servo skull. There was no mistaking the claw marks his familiar had discovered. The cuts were deep, made by curved talons.
"Gene stealers," Jeremias growled.
He pulled aside the section of wall, peering into the dome's interior.
"Korlak, send a report, evidence of tyrannid infestation. Planet is to be placed under quarantine. Recommend immediate exterminatus."
"Complying, sire."
Telling the skull to wait outside, Jeremias stepped into the dome, having to stoop to stand beneath the partially collapsed roof. A pouch lay in the middle of the shelter. Jeremias crouched down to pick it up, noticing the Munitorum stamp on the leather. "Property of the Imperial Guard. Fascinating." He stood, flipping open the pouch. It was empty, save for a small wooden figure. A guardsman crouched on one knee, las rifle extended. A child's toy. Removing one of his gloves, he dropped the figure into his palm, curling his fingers around the soldier. Concentrating, he closed his eyes and waited for the images to flood his mind. When they came, they took his breath away. Discordant memories that weren't his own. Emerald lightning crackling through the sky. A mighty hive crashing down into the ground. Clouds of dust billowing out across a poisoned landscape. Ships ripped apart. Ships full of survivors, of refugees. Then fear. Fear unlike anything he'd experienced before. An escape pod flung across the stars. Impossible light squirming through the void. A crash, the pod rolling over and over, being chased through a forest, cold fingers grasping for his flesh, the sound of a disintegrator cannon, a rictus grin, a ring of metal etched with strange inhuman glyphs. Jeremias let out a ragged breath and lurched forwards. Korlak shot into the shelter, telescopic fronds ready to assist. Jeremias raised a shaking hand.
"All is well."
Outside the ramshackle dome, the cybermastiff growled. Jeremias locked eyes with the hound, all too aware that the beast had hunched its powerful shoulders and was ready to pounce.
"Heal,"
he warned, ignoring the squirming sensation at the back of his mind. It was always the same when he used his powers, each experience more unsettling than the last. The hound snarled, but its sprung limbs relaxed.
Jeremias returned the figurine to the pouch and staggered out of the dome. He passed the bag to Korlak and pulled on his glove. His mind raced as he marched back to his ship, the hound skulking behind him. Now he knew who they were looking for, faces glimpsed in the maelstrom of images that had invaded his mind. A dark-skinned girl, a blonde-haired boy, and a pale-skinned Martian. Children. Lost and alone. Jeremias imagined how scared they would be. How vulnerable. As the ship took off, Korlak at the controls, Jeremias sank back into his command chair.
Help me find them, Emperor of Mankind.
Hands clasped around his inquisitorial seal.
Help me find them before it is too late.
Chapter 9. Abominable Intelligence. Hinterland's marketplace seemed busier than ever. The loom globes and the arched ceilings had dimmed to plunge the station into an artificial night, but no one seemed to be heading for bed. The atmosphere seemed charged, somehow even more dangerous. Zelia clutched her omniscope to her, just in case another opportunist took a fancy to the device. Meki stayed close as they made their way through the stalls, and she wondered if he felt the same, like they were being watched. They passed a tavern, harsh music filtering through the flimsy swing doors. Someone was hammering out a raucous star shanty on a synthy chord, drunken patrons singing along with gusto, whether they could follow the tune or not.
Hey, hey, little ones!
A gruff voice rang out from the shadows.
The market's no place for you! Not at this time of night! Come in! Warm your hands by the brazier! We'll protect you!
Meki hesitated, and for one awful moment Zelia thought he was going to take the heckler up on the offer. She grabbed his arm and pulled him away from the grog house.
You're lost, little ones!
The voice shouted after them.
Stay safe, won't ya?
Zelia shuddered. She wished Talon was with them. Yes, she was still furious with them, but at least she felt safer when he was around. Something small and bronze darted towards them. She ducked before recognizing the whir of tiny wings. Meki's servo sprite bobbed in the air in front of them. Oh, look who it is, she said, scolding the construct as if it was an errant child. Where were you when Fleepit needed help? Meki cocked his head, his electus flaring as he received the information from the skittish robot. You cannot blame Meshwing. Talon Stormweaver has spent years evading capture. If he managed to evade the Imperial Guard on Targian... Zelia sighed. Losing a servo sprite on a busy space station wouldn't be much of an issue. I know, I know. She carried on, not wanting to linger in the marketplace. They hurried through the square, heading into the maze of alleyways that led to Carter's store. It was even gloomier in the narrow passageways, steam rising from grates in the floor. Beggars huddled around broken thermal heaters, holding out emaciated hands as they passed, but Zelia had nothing to give. Thankfully, Meshwing could remember the way. The sprite flew ahead, leading them back to Carter's Emporium. The old woman still stood outside the cartographer's door, selling her mugs of scuzzy broth. Zelia pushed open the door to find the shop empty, lit only by flickering candles set on floating repulsor pads. Her first instinct was to call out, but she held her tongue. The curtain at the back of the store was drawn back slightly, a warm glow coming from behind the thick fabric. Zelia indicated for Meki to follow her, and they crept towards the curtain, the whir of the servo sprite's wings ridiculously loud in the quiet shop. Zelia had been right. The curtain did hide a stockroom. Wooden shelving units reached up to the ceiling, filled with piles of rolled-up scrolls and tiny caskets. A large metal barrel stood at the back of the narrow space. It was almost as tall as Zelia, with a heavy lid. Wanting a closer look, she reached out to pull back a curtain. Halt! Zelia jumped back as a large disc-shaped machine appeared from behind the drape. It hovered in front of them, their shocked faces reflecting in its dark picture lens. The machine darted forwards, forcing Zelia to step back. She whacked into the counter, yelping as her back made contact with the map-covered table.
You are not permitted,
the hovering robot announced, its artificial tone decidedly hostile.
The shop is closed.
I'm sorry, she stammered in reply, staring into the lens. We're looking for Carter.
Not permitted,
the machine repeated, a tapered tube clicking down beside the lens. Was that a laser? We can come back later, she said, trying to get out from behind the counter, but the machine bobbed forwards, blocking her path. Please, we didn't mean any harm.
Trespassers will be disintegrated.
What? That's a bit extreme. The tip of the laser glowed. Meshwing, go! Mekki shouted, and the servo sprite threw itself in front of Zelia before the defensive drone could fire.
Out of my way!
The robot barked as Meshwing flitted back and forth to block its aim. It was the distraction Zelia needed. Sweeping her arm over the counter, she threw a pile of parchments over the befuddled robot. Scrabbling over the counter, she bolted for the exit, only sliding to a halt when the door suddenly opened.
What are you doing here?
Snapped Carter, a mug of steaming broth in his hand. The drone zipped forwards, its laser glowing ominously.
They are thieves, it reported, aiming straight at Zelia. They must be punished.
No, Zelia insisted. We didn't take anything. The drone spun around to face her.
Then why were you skulking around in the dark?
Carter stepped into his shop, shutting the door behind him.
That's a good point. Thank you, said the drone.
We want Fleepit, Zelia told the merchant.
Your Jokero?
Our friend. Carter laughed, only stopping to blow into the mug to cool his drink.
What did I warn you about such heresies, my dear? Aliens and humans can never be friends.
You want to talk about heresy? Zelia said, pointing at the hovering robot. What about that thing? Carter glanced at the floating machine.
My drone?
It talks, Mekki chipped in from behind Zelia. It reasons.
What of it?
Bristled the drone. See? Mekki said. Carter took a sip of the broth.
The drone is a tool, nothing more.
His eyes settled on Meshwing, fluttering near Mekki's head.
Much like your own creation.
Mekki bristled at the accusation. It is nothing like my servo sprite. Meshwing is not sentient, but your drone thinks for itself. It is an abomination. What if we reported you to the station master? Zelia asked, drawing another chuckle from the cartographer.
Be my guest.
Zelia shifted uneasily. She hadn't expected the man to call her bluff.
And while they are here, Carter continued, you can explain why you tried to steal something that is rightfully mine.
That's a lie! Carter raised an eyebrow.
Is it? I made a deal with your ganger friend. I gave him the information you sought, and he gave me the Jokero. And what did you do? You broke into my store and vandalized my property.
The door was open, Mekki insisted, and we did not touch anything.
Really?
Carter said, nodding towards the papers scattered on the floor beside the counter.
You're lucky I don't make you pay for the damage. Now get out before I let my drone open fire.
Zelia considered knocking that stinking mug of broth out of Carter's gnarled hand, imagining it splashing up into his smug face. But she knew it wouldn't do any good. The drone would shoot them before they had a chance to escape. Instead, she forced herself to apologize and told Mekki that they should get back to the ship. Carter stepped aside and opened the door.
Thanks for dropping by, he said,
as Zelia stepped out into the alleyway.
Please make sure it never happens again.
The door slammed shut behind them. There was a sharp click as Carter threw the lock. The drone glared at them through the window for a moment before retreating into the shadows. Zelia felt like screaming. Do not worry, Mekki said, leading her away from the shop. We will recover Fleeg and Pala. How? She replied, stopping to glare at Carter's window display. Carter will never let us back in now. He will not have to, the Martian told her. He pointed to the window and Zelia saw what looked like a small figurine standing immobile among Carter's wares. A figurine with fragile, golden wings. That's Meshwing. She hid while Carter threatened you, Mekki explained. We shall wait until the cartographer has left for the night. And then Meshwing will let us in. Exactly. But what about the drone? Mekki looked back at the shop door.
It took me by surprise when it first appeared, but I will search my database. There must be something in your mother's notes that can help me deactivate that abomination once and for all.
Zelia grinned at her friend.
You're brilliant. Do you know that, Mickey? Absolutely brilliant.
The Martian considered this for a moment.
Yes, he finally agreed. Yes, I am.
Chapter 10. Ambushed. Zelia and Mekki headed back for Amity's ship, only to find the Profiteer's ramp was raised. Zelia tapped her vox.
Amity, are you there, Captain?
There was no response.
Little humans are locked out,
squawked a voice from nearby.
They turned to see a group of aliens emerging from the shadows of a neighbouring ship. Zelia swallowed, wanting to grab Mekki's hand.
It was Korok, the Kroot, who had stolen her omniscope. Now armed with a long, hooked staff, the yellow-skinned alien had recovered from Carter's shot, and this time wasn't alone. Another Kroot stood to its right, this one even taller, its height accentuated by the spiked Mohican that ran the length of its scarred scalp. It was holding back a creature on a thick chain, a snarling monstrosity of a hound that looked like a cross between a Kroot and a wild dog, a mane of spines covering its back. Foam flecked the brute's jaws, its yellow lips drawn back to reveal teeth that looked as though they could crunch through ceramite. Then there was the goat-faced abhuman that Talon had insulted while he ate his lunch. The noodles were gone, replaced by a double-barreled las rifle. The beastman snorted, nostrils flaring as he disengaged the weapon's safety catch. The gang was completed by a docker encased in one of the powerful exosuits that had so fascinated Mekki on their arrival. Zelia realised that the suit was the same gold as Carter's drone, strange glyphs running along its powerful arms.
That's mine,
Korok said, jabbing its finger at the omniscope, now safely stowed in Zelia's bandolier. No, it's not, she said, hoping the alien couldn't hear the quaver in her voice. Korok snorted and glanced up at the Profiteer.
Nice ship too, Amity ship.
Its scarred beak peeled back into a hideous smile.
My ship now.
Leave us alone, Mekki said, sounding calmer than Zelia felt. Captain Amity is with us.
The gang of louts looked around.
Funny, scoffed the goat man. I don't see her.
Korok tapped its shoulder. The skin was blistered and raw.
Beam hat. Now you hat too.
But that wasn't us,
Zelia argued, trying not to look at the Kroot hound that strained against its leash. That was Carter. The Kroot's spines bristled.
Carter's my friend. You a stranger. That means you get hurt fast.
Zelia and Mekki did the only thing they could.
They ran, ducking beneath the Profiteer.
Split up, Zelia yelled, peeling off to the left.
Mekki darted to the right as Korok shouted at its compatriot to release the hound. Zelia didn't look back. She didn't have to. She could hear the savage barking as the beast bounded after her. She ran towards a planet hopper, not unlike her mother's ship, with the same ladder leading up to its roof. She leapt for the bottom rung, hauling herself up. The hound leapt up after her, its snapping jaws narrowly missing her foot. She didn't look down, the rust on the rungs cutting into her palms as she climbed. The beast barked furiously beneath her, but she was safe. There was no way the animal could climb after her. A bolt of energy slammed into the hull beside her, nearly knocking her from the ladder. She glanced over her shoulder to see Korok and the goat man running for the planet hopper. Both were firing, the Kroot's staff doubling as a gun. Lasfire strafed the side of the ship as Zelia threw herself onto the squat craft's roof, ducking behind a large communication disc. The bolts sounded even louder as they slammed into her makeshift shield. Out of the corner of her eye, she spotted Mekki hiding behind a stack of cargo pods. Not that it did him any good. The docker in the exosuit lumbered up and took out the entire pile with a single swing of her armoured arms. Mekki scuttled away, the docker trudging after the Martian, before an energy bolt struck her right between the armoured shoulders. Sparks erupted from the back of the suit, the hydraulic limbs going stiff. With a cry, the docker tumbled forwards, her armour completely immobilised.
Kurok and the Beastman spun around, firing back towards the Profiteer. The Croothound gave up on Zelia and charged towards Amity's ship, barking wildly. It screeched to a halt as a silver ball dropped in front of it. The canister bounced once before rolling to the hound's feet. The beast sniffed it, and then yelped as the canister detonated, a pulse of brilliant white light washing over the hangar bay. Zelia fell back on the top of the planet hopper, unable to see. She rubbed furiously at her aching eyes as the sound of beamer fire filled the bay. Zelia kept her head down, blinking until her vision returned. When she finally looked up, the hangar was ominously silent. Zelia scrambled forwards, peering over the edge of the ship to see Korok lying in a heap on the floor. There was no sign of the Beastman, although the docker still lay immobile on her front, smoke curling up from the suit's servos. There was a sound like someone dragging a slab of meat, and Grunt emerged from beneath the Profiteer. The servitor was lugging the mohawked Kroot behind him. Without a word, the giant dropped the alien's prone body next to Korok and turned to watch his mistress stroll towards them. Amity had her sword in one hand and her beamer in the other. Her usually immaculate hair fell around her shoulders, and even though she was breathing heavily, there was no mistaking the swagger in her step. "You can come down now," she called up to Zelia. "But that hound ran off with its tail between its legs." Zelia clambered down the ladder, joining Amity beside the unconscious Kroot. "Are they..." She didn't want to finish the sentence. "You won't have to worry about them anymore," Amity said, slipping her beamer back into her holster. "Although you're lucky we came back when we did. I always find it's best to return fire if someone's trying to atomize you." "Zelia Law does not carry weapons," Mekki informed the captain, emerging from his hiding place.
"Then it's a wonder Zelia Law is still alive," Amity said, returning her sword to its scabbard. "Looks like we need a lesson in self-defense."
She led them onto the Profiteer, taking them not to the flight deck, but the ship's extensive armory. The walls were covered in racks containing all kinds of weapons, from power blades to vibro-lashes. Zelia felt a pang of regret when she realised how Talon's eyes would have popped out on stalks if he could see all this. He should be here, with them.
"Here," said Amity, plucking a silver canister from a case.
It was the same as the device that had blinded the Croothound.
"Stick this in your belt."
Zelia hesitated, and Amity rolled her eyes.
"It's just a flash grenade, non-lethal, but you saw what it can do. Lots of light."
"Hence the name," Zelia said. Amity nodded.
"If you get into trouble, twist the canister to prime the flare and throw it to the ground."
Zelia took the silver sphere gingerly, as if the device would explode at any moment, then slipped it into a spare pouch on her bandolier. Amity passed her two more.
"Just make sure you close your eyes first."
The captain turned to Mekki.
"What about you, Techhead? Take your pick."
The Martian strolled up and down the weapon bays before retrieving a long wand-like device. It had a power pack at one end and forked prongs at the other. Amity nodded in appreciation.
"A shock prod? Not a bad choice, although you'll have to be up close and personal for it to work.
Have neither of you really handled a weapon before?"
"I have," Mekki said, drawing a shocked glance from Zelia.
"When?"
He slipped the prod into a pocket on his backpack.
"Long before I met your mother, when I escaped..."
He paused, that nerve pulsing between his electrodes again.
"I mean, when I left Mars."
Once again, Zelia realised how little she knew about the Martian. But this wasn't the time for more questions. Satisfied, Amity ushered them out of the armoury.
"So what happened with your Jacaro? I'm assuming that Carter didn't want to return the merchandise."
Zelia and Mekki followed her back to the bridge, Grunt lumbering behind.
"No," Zelia admitted. "He said he bought him fair and square."
"And your ganger friend?"
Amity asked, fastening her hair in a ponytail as she strode onto the flight deck. Zelia shook her head.
"I've no idea where Talon is."
The captain took a deep breath.
"Then I guess it's down to me."
"What do you mean?" Zelia asked as Amity checked the charge on her beamer.
"I still have business of my own to attend to, but after I'm done, I'll swing by Carter's. Maybe I can persuade him to change his mind."
Amity returned the gun to her belt and recovered her hat from Grunt's head. "Protect the children," she told the servitor. "Nothing bad happens to them, do you understand?" Grunt's head jerked forwards in a rough approximation of a nod, and Amity slapped the servitor on its metal arm. "Excellent." She swept from the bridge, telling Zelia and Mekki to stay on the ship until she returned. Once they were alone, Mekki started checking his wrist screen. "What are you doing?" Zelia asked. "Looking for mentions of thinking drones. Like Carter's." Mekki nodded, although it soon became clear that his database contained nothing that could help. He moved to a nearby console, slipping his haptic implants into an access port, and consulted the ship's own computer banks. "Anything?" Zelia asked, but Mekki shook his head. "I'm afraid not. Of course, any information on abominable intelligence would probably have been expunged from the records." The Martian's face darkened. "I should have thought of that." Zelia couldn't let him get maudlin. "We'll just have to improvise." She turned to leave. "Come on, Carter must have left by now." The Martian hesitated. "What is it?" Zelia asked. "The captain told us to stay on board the ship." "She works for us," Zelia reminded him. "Not the other way around." "But the drone," Mekki said as Zelia went to leave. "I still do not know how to deactivate it. Perhaps it is better if we leave it to Captain Amity." Zelia shook her head. "If Amity goes in guns blazing, there's a chance that Fleepit could get hurt." Then she turned to Grunt. "Amity told you to protect us, right?" The servitor nodded. "So that means that if we leave the ship, you have to come with us, yes?" Again, Grunt nodded. Zelia grinned at Mekki. "See? We have our very own bodyguard." Mekki rose from his seat, grabbing the shock prod from his backpack. "Then, what are we waiting for, Zelia Law? We must rescue Fleegan Pala." Chapter 11. Breaking and Entering. The trading post had at last quietened down by the time they crossed the market square. The taverns were finally closed and the alleyways deserted. Only a few stragglers remained at large, ratlings staggering home to wherever they lay their hairy heads, while dock workers slumped in dark corners, coats pulled over them like blankets. The stalls were now empty, the interior of the station unnaturally quiet without the bustle of the spacefarers and the barks and growls of the caged animals. Somewhere in the distance, a lone beast howled. Zelia tried not to imagine what it was, her mind conjuring up images of clawed fiends lurking around every corner, waiting to pounce upon anyone foolish enough to venture out during the outpost's night cycle. Before leaving the ship, Zelia had found a couple of dark green cloaks in the empty crew quarters. Passing one to Mekki, she had wrapped the thick cape around her and headed out into the hangar bay. She hadn't bothered giving one to Grunt, thinking that a servitor wearing a cloak would only attract attention. They slipped unnoticed through the market, even with Grunt plodding after them. The broth seller was gone by the time they reached Carter's Emporium. The store was in darkness, Meshwing still standing like a tiny bronze statue in the window. Mekki tapped on the glass, and the servo sprite snapped back to life. It buzzed excitedly over to the door and, with a sharp click, turned the lock. The door creaked as Zelia pushed it open, and she half expected the drone to come zipping out at them, but Meshwing reported that both Carter and the drone had left the store some time ago. They could search for Fleepit in peace. She held the door open for Grunt, who clunked his head on the frame. Mekki was already making for the stockroom as she locked them in. A thud from beyond the curtain stopped him in his tracks. The Martian froze, looking back at her. Maybe Meshwing had been wrong. Perhaps the drone was still lying in wait for would-be thieves. Zelia reached beneath her cloak, her fingers finding one of the flash grenades nestled in her bandolier. Indicating for the others to stay quiet, she crept forwards, wincing as Grunt followed anyway, every step as light and airy as a 10-ton crotalid. Zelia tiptoed around the counter and reached for the drape. She waited for Grunt to trudge to a halt behind her and yanked the fabric back, its hoops squealing on the brass pole. The stockroom was empty. No Carter and no drone. Stepping around her, Mekki activated the loom bead he wore on the band around his head. he moved inside the storage room, the light sweeping across the shelves as he turned his head. Zelia followed him in, leaving Grunt standing guard at the threshold. She peered at the dusty boxes on the shelves, her curiosity getting the better of her. Yellowing labels described the content of each casket in what she assumed was Carter's spidery handwriting. There were relics and old coins, quills and bottles of ink, none of which interested her, but the maps were something else. She ran her fingers along the fragile rolls of paper, wondering if any of them contained the location of the Emperor's seat, knowledge that Talon now possessed but had failed to share before storming off. Her eyes rested on the large barrel at the back of the room. She moved over to examine it, but froze when the front door rattled. Zelia dashed back to the curtain and barked for Grunt to get out of the way so she could pull it shut. They listened as the lock turned and the shop door creaked open. The glow from Mekki's loom bead cast stark shadows against the curtain, and she waved at him to extinguish the light before it gave them away. He obliged, plunging the stockroom into near darkness. Zelia pulled a flash grenade from her belt as Mekki drew his shock prod. Even Grunt shifted behind them, ready to protect his young charges. Zelia put a hand against the servitor's chest to stop him from blundering forwards, wincing at the feel of his skin beneath her palm. Grunt's flesh was cold and clammy. It was like touching a dead fish. She pulled her hand away, but Grunt remained where he was, waiting and watching from beneath his heavy brow. Footsteps rang out on the other side of the curtain. Was it Carter? Zelia listened for the telltale hum of the drone, but could only hear boots pacing the shop. They stopped, and there was a scrape as an item was removed from one of Carter's displays, only to be replaced a few seconds later. And then there was silence. Zelia raised a shaking finger to her lips. Mekki nodded, his knuckles white around the shock prod. None of them moved. Not even Meshwing, who cringed on Mekki's shoulder, wings folded behind her metal back. Zelia held her breath. Any sound could betray them. Something inside the metal barrel clanged. Zelia couldn't help but let out a yelp. The footsteps approached, attracted by the noise. Zelia stepped back, hiding behind Grunt's bulk. Her cloak slipped from her shoulders, the flash grenade in her hand. The footsteps stopped on the other side of the curtain. Zelia looked down to see polished boots in the gap beneath the fabric. There was an agonizing wait. And then, with a dramatic swish, the drape was pulled back. Grunt lurched forwards, but stopped short when he found himself staring into the barrel of Captain Amity's beamer. Zelia let out a breath of relief. "I thought I told you to stay on the ship," Amity snapped, returning her pistol to her belt. "And we ignored you," Zelia said, holstering her grenade. Only Mekki still held out his weapon, just in case, the shock prod shaking ever so slightly in his grip. Amity reached out and lowered the Martian's hand. "Breaking and entering, eh?" A smile spread across the captain's face. "Just what I would have done." "What you did," Zelia corrected her. "What are you doing here?" She looked around the stockroom. "Same as you, searching for our furry friend. Any luck?" Zelia pointed out the barrel. "There's something in there." Sure enough, another thud came from within the container. "It's certainly large enough," Amity said, stepping past Grunt to try the lid. It wouldn't budge. "How are we going to open it?" asked Zelia. "The same way I opened the front door," Amity replied, delving into one of the pockets in her coat. She pulled out a small box the size of a large beetle and slapped it onto the side of the barrel. It magnalocked into place and started to whine the moment she pulled back her hand. Mekki looked on in fascination. Amity flashed him a grin. "Sonic pick," she explained. "Never found a lock it couldn't open. Aha!" There was a mechanical click from within the barrel, and the container shook violently. Amity took a step back. They all did. There was definitely something inside. "Flea pit?" Zelia asked as the top of the barrel started to unscrew by itself. "You might want to get ready with that shock prod," Amity told Mekki, drawing her beamer. Zelia reached out a hand to calm them. It'll be all right. He's probably just scared.
Meki nodded. Fliegenpala hates being locked up. Amity aimed her beamer at the slowly revolving lid. How do we know that he's in there?
Who else would it be? Zelia asked as the lid stopped turning and shot up into the air. Something burst from the barrel with a roar. Something that definitely wasn't Fleepit.
Chapter 12. The Thing in the Barrel.
The barrel toppled onto its side, briny water slopping all over the floor. But it wasn't the water gushing from the open container that worried Zelia. It was the squirming mass of tentacles. She dropped to the floor as a suckered arm swept over her. She tried to scramble back to her feet, slipping on the water as another rubbery limb almost took out Meki. None of this made sense. How had something this big fitted into a barrel that small? Zelia counted 6, 7, maybe even 8 tentacles flailing around the small room. There was no way they could have all crammed into the barrel, and yet more seemed to spill out of the open lid with every passing second. To make things worse, each tentacle ended in a barbed claw. Zelia screamed as one of the curved hooks slashed down towards her. She rolled, the tip smashing into the floor inches from her head. She looked up to see a blubbery body squeezing out of the barrel. It was covered in eyes, its gaping maw filled with row upon row of glistening fangs. Amity pulled out her beamer and fired into the mouth of the beast. Zelia ducked as another tentacle swiped towards her. She reached out, grabbing the edge of her drenched cloak. Twisting, she whipped the soaked cape at the claw, the fabric catching on the barbs. The tentacle jerked back, lifting Zelia from the floor. She let go, slamming back down, winding herself. The claw slashed down again, the now tattered cloak still attached to its hooks. Zelia threw up a hand to protect herself, but the tentacle was sliced in two by Amity's whirling sword. The severed claw clattered to the floor beside Zelia as the monster bellowed in agony. The noise was unbearable. Zelia clamped her hands over her ears, only to feel the severed tentacle snaking around her body. It plucked her from the ground, immediately tightening around her chest. She yelled for help, hoping another swipe from Amity's blade would cut her free, but the captain was busy fighting a suckered arm of her own. The monster's grip tightened, crushing the breath from her lungs. She squirmed, trying to wriggle free, but it was no good. She couldn't breathe. She couldn't even scream. Her head started to swim, black dots dancing on the edge of her vision. Then something slammed into the feeler's slimy flesh. It was Grunt, swinging his mechanical arm like a cudgel. The servitor was still trying to obey the order to protect Zelia from harm. Some hope. Another tentacle unfurled, smashing Grunt into the wall. The servitor tumbled forwards and a heavy wooden shelf crashed down on top of him, Carter's precious stock smashing on the slick floor. Zelia yelled his name, but Grunt lay still. She was on her own. Gritting her teeth, Zelia pushed her hand past the suckers that were pressed against her body. Her fingers curled around one of the flash grenades and, gasping for air, she threw it behind her. The device detonated, bathing the room in dazzling light. The creature roared, throwing Zelia clear. She smacked into the wall, sliding down to land on something hard. She felt beneath herself, realising that it was Amity's beamer. She pulled out the weapon, her vision clearing to see both the captain and Meki being dragged towards the creature's open mouth. "What are you waiting for?" Amity yelled. "Shoot it!" Zelia raised the gun. It felt weird in her hands. She had promised herself she would never fire a beamer, but her friends would die if she didn't act fast. She raised the weapon, aiming straight for the monster. Amity was clawing at the floor, trying to stop herself being pulled into the thing's mouth. Zelia's finger curled around the trigger and vzzzt! Electricity danced over the monster's body, illuminating each sucker-strewn tentacle. But Zelia hadn't fired. She looked down to see Meki on the floor. He was lying face down, his arm extended, shock prod in his hand. He'd electrocuted the creature, the charge surging through the briny water. The beast had slumped to the ground, the mighty tentacles curled around its body. Zelia ran to Meki, trying to pull him up. His robes were wet through. He had been lying in the water himself. "Meki?" Zelia turned him over. His eyes were closed, his lips parted. "Meki!" The Martian's eyelids flicked open. He looked up at her, green eyes swimming into focus.
Did it work? He croaked.
The monster shuddered, but lay still. Yes, she said, helping him up. But there's no telling how long that thing will be out. I thought you were...
You need to have more faith, Zelia Law, Mekki said, cutting her off.
He was back on his feet, but swaying.
I used my electus to divert the charge into my pack's batteries. I was quite safe.
Glad one of us was,
Amity said, kicking her ankle free from the stunned creature's grip. Her hair was standing on end, and her teeth chattered as she tried to stand, before slumping back to her knees. She must have taken quite a blast herself. Zelia moved to help her up, but she pushed her away, staggering over to check on Grunt.
He'll be okay, Amity said, but we might have to carry him back to the ship.
We still need to find Fleapit, Zelia reminded her, keeping one eye on the twitching creature.
Amity grabbed her beamer and went to retrieve her sword, nearly slipping on the floor.
You never give up, do you?
But before Zelia could answer, a voice rang out from the front of the shop.
What in the Emperor's name is going on?
Zelia looked past the curtain to see Carter glaring at them, the golden drone floating by his side. Chapter 13. Firing Squad. Amity snapped her gun arm up, the hovering drone in her sights.
I could ask you the same question. Who keeps a monster inside a barrel?
Carter rushed forwards, barging past the captain to stare in disbelief at the unconscious creature.
What is it? Zelia gasped.
A Kraken hatchling, Carter replied, wringing his hands together. Part of a consignment from one of the finest Xenos hunters in the galaxy. If you've hurt it...
If we hurt it, Amity said. What possessed you to start dealing in Krakens?
Carter cautiously approached the monster.
I have contacts who pay a small fortune for such beasts.
Zelia couldn't believe what she was hearing. Why would anyone want something like that? The cartographer glared at her.
How am I supposed to know? Perhaps they have strange taste in pets or need a way to dispose of meddling children. Either way, they're not the kind of people you question.
The merchant glanced back at the drone.
We need to administer a sedative, although squeezing it back into the stasis barrel isn't going to be fun.
The drone whizzed into the stockroom and dipped down in front of the creature. It extended a syringe, which was immediately shattered into 1,000 pieces by a well-aimed blast from Amity's beamer. Carter and the drone whirled around, its laser ready to return fire.
What do you think you are doing? Carter spluttered. If the monster wakes up...
You'll have a problem on your hands, Amity said calmly.
Move another muscle and I'll destroy that flying contraption of yours.
The Kraken could kill us, Carter pleaded.
It already tried.
You're making a big mistake, the cartographer snarled at the captain.
Am I? You have a choice, Carter.